Hi, this is Gary Washburn, pastor of Grace Tabernacle. Thank you for tuning to our podcast today. Our hope is that this message inspires you and builds your faith. For more information about Grace Tabernacle and our ministries, please go to gracetab.org and like us on Facebook. Now, may the message feed your soul.
All right, I hope you've had your coffee and you're ready to go. I want to talk to you this morning about the longing in our hearts to make a lasting impact with our lives. We're wired that way. God wired you and me that inside us, whether we admit it or not, we have a longing, a desire. We want to make a lasting impact with our life. We want our life to mean something. We want our life to leave something here on earth after we're gone that's going to influence people. It's going to impact people. You've had that desire in you even when you were a child. It might have been misdirected. You might have sought fame or fortune in getting notoriety of people or whatever it may be in your heart. But that longing that's in your heart to make a lasting impact comes from God. It's not a bad desire. It's a good desire. God wired you so that your life, you would want to make a lasting impact while you're here on this short time we call Earth, planet Earth. Three scriptures, let's look at them real quick. Jeremiah 29:11, God says, "For I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord." So God has some plans. Would you agree? Say amen. He has some plans for you. Okay. Second scripture, Psalm 25, verse 12, the Lord says, who is the man or who is the person who fears the Lord? And fear doesn't mean to be terrorized. It means to respect God, who believes God, and who honors God, and realizing that God's present even though he's invisible. So who is the man who fears the Lord? He, talking about God now, God will teach this person who fears the Lord the way he should choose. So God will help you choose the path of life that you're supposed to go, because he has plans for your life to make a long and lasting impact on this world. God plans to use you. Okay. And the last scripture, Psalm 16, verse 11. God will make known to me the path of life. See, I won't find it on my own. I have to have God to help me find the path of life that he has planned for me. Are you understanding? Say yes. Breathe. There you go. Okay. Grunt. Anything. I don't care. I just want to hear you. Okay. Now, finding the plan of God for your life is not automatic. It's not just going to automatically happen. Well, if God planned it, you know, I don't have to do anything. No, no, no. You play a partnership in this, vital. Your part and my part is to listen for God, to look God, to seek God, to worship God, to honor God, and ask him to reveal his plans for us. What's my next step, God? What's the path you have for me? Because left to myself, I'll make the wrong choice. I need him because I'll try to figure it out on my own, and God's thoughts are not like our thoughts. He doesn't think like us. So I need him to help me find the path, the plan that he had for my life even before I was born. You need that in your life. So it's not automatic. You've got to seek God. And many times, actually most of the times, the way you start to hear or recognize God's leading is in the little things that you think are not big things. Everybody say little things. Say this with me, little things matter to God. That's where it starts. And it's something so little you'll think, well, God's not interested in that. That's where it starts. That's where you start to recognize God's leading. Because if you won't obey him in a little thing, why should he tell you a big thing? Amen? Well, a couple, before we went on vacation, the first week it was a week of vacation, but it was a week of work at home. I had a project. We have a backyard wooden fence, and it was falling down, been falling down for a long time, and I've been burdened about it. I said, God, I got to replace this fence, and it cost a lot of money, and God provided the money. And so a friend, dear friend in church, offered to help me to do it. I was really just not motivated to do it because it's a lot of hard work if you've ever put up these fences, posts, and all that stuff. Anyway, so we began this project, and we worked, this friend and I, we worked a full day, and it was like 90 degrees outside in the hot sun. It's hot, and I mean, I'm 64 years old. I'm not 32 anymore, and it is harder work now than it was when I was 32. Can you understand? I was exhausted. So we got about three quarters of the fence up in one day in a hard day's work. The next morning, I go out, and as my custom is, I sit on the back porch, drink my coffee, have my Bible and my journal, and I pray, and I spend some time talking to God. And I was sitting there on the back porch, just looking out there at that beautiful new fence up, and just, God, I just thank you so much. You know, I was concerned about that fence, and Lord, you have provided me a friend to motivate me. Let's go do it. You provided the funds to build this fence. I just say thank you, thank you, thank you for this new fence coming up, and we're three quarters done. Thank you, God. And about that time, the voice of the Lord spoke to me, and I didn't hear it audibly. I heard it as clear as day in my thoughts, in my heart. And one of the ways you know the voice of God is this wasn't a thought I was even thinking about. This wasn't on my radar. Are you understanding? So I knew it didn't come from me. And the thought came just like this. Here is the thought. God asked me a question. He said, will you let me lead you? Will you let me lead you? I'm telling you, that shocked me. Because I thought he already was. And I didn't say that because obviously God's not asking a question that he doesn't know the answer to. He's asking me a question that I know is a challenging question. So I got down on my knees right there at that little chair, and I'd sit there and I said, God, I want to say yes, and I don't want to say it superficially, but I want you to lead me in every area of my life. Help me. I'm willing to be made willing. Just, yes, sir, I do. I want you to lead my life. I thought you were, but obviously there must be some areas you're not. So, yes, I said yes. And I wrote it in my journal, and I wrote the date. This is a rhema word for me, a personal word. A rhema word is meant to be a life-changing word, a life direction word. So I said yes. And I sat there and back down in the chair, and I was still for a moment. And the first thing the voice of the Lord said to me so subtly, so quietly in my head was, you need a building permit for that fence. I'm about to rebuke that thought because I didn't think that God would be concerned about a building permit. He said, you need a building permit for that. Okay, will you let me lead you? And I said, yes, and the first thing you tell me, you didn't tell me go to Africa and be a missionary, you didn't tell me do this or that, you told me get a building permit for my fence. Okay, God, here's the deal. If this is really you and it's just not my conscience or my thoughts, then you got to confirm this word to me. That's what I said. I go in the back door. Pam's sitting over there at the table where she has her quiet time. I walk in the door. First thing she said to me, you know, we need a building permit for that fence out there. I said, yeah, I know. So I had to go down to the, I went down that morning as soon as they're open. And I told them I already started building this fence, and I knew I needed a building permit, and I didn't get one. You know, tell me what I got to do. They work with me, so. But anyway, it's the little things. I didn't think that was God. God doesn't care about a building permit, does he? Will you let me lead you? Yes. That's the same question that God is asking you today through my story, through my voice. God is asking you a question. Will you let me lead you? Be careful before you say yes. Because if you say yes, the very next thing he's going to tell you something may not be what you want to hear. Psalm 25, verses 12 through 13, look at this. We read it at the beginning. Psalm 25, who is the man who fears the Lord? He, God, will teach him in the way that he should choose. God will make the decisions. God will lead you. Choose this, do this, don't do this. You don't have to try to figure it out. God will lead you. And then notice what happens as a result. He, the man who fears the Lord, he, the man who he's allowing God to lead him in matters of life, he, this man, will dwell at ease. Meaning prosperity. And prosperity is not just money. Prosperity, prosperous life. And notice, bold, and everybody say this with me, and his descendants, say it with me, and his descendants, say it a little louder, and his descendants will inherit the land. Your descendants will inherit the land. Your children, your grandchildren, your great-grandchildren, and on and on, people left behind you will inherit the land. What does that got to do with anything? This land is not so much land like territory, like geographical land. It is areas of our life that God expects us to conquer while we're here on this short time on earth, in overcoming areas where the enemy has occupied the land. And God is saying that if we'll conquer this by letting God lead us, we'll conquer greed, we'll conquer this addiction, we'll conquer bitterness, we'll conquer unforgiveness, we'll conquer this by him leading us, and we're yielding to him, then we take that land. We've captured more land for the kingdom of God. And now our descendants, those coming after us, they won't have to fight that battle that we have already won. We give it to them as an inheritance. They won't have to fight that alcohol addiction or that drug because we conquered it with the Lord. It won't be a generational sin that you didn't conquer. Now it's passed on to somebody else and on to somebody else. Are you understanding how important this is? And God wants to lead your life so that you'll conquer things and have an inheritance to leave to your descendants. Not just your children, but the people left behind. You got new territory to conquer. I imagine Abraham sat down with his son Isaac and had a lot of discussions about some land that he had taken or captured in his life, and gave Isaac, his son, some life lessons. I imagine Abraham said to Lot, said, I mean to Isaac, I imagine Abraham said to Isaac, his son, say, son, part of your inheritance that I want to give you is not necessarily land, but it is the blessing of God that God's given me, the victories that God has given me, I want to give to you. Here's one of those life lessons, son, and write it down and don't forget it. Number one lesson, don't ever fight over land. Then he told him the story about how his nephew Lot and him had fought over land, and Abraham learned not to fight over it, but let Lot choose. And of course, Lot chose Sodom and Gomorrah, and you can read about that, and it was a disastrous decision. He didn't fight over land. Abraham said, whatever you want, you can have it. That's fine. I'm not going to fight over the land, and God will bless me wherever I am, even if it's a desert. Are you understanding? Another lesson probably Abraham told Isaac was, son, remember this, and this is part of your inheritance now. When God gives you a promise, don't ever try to help him out. And then he tells him the story about Hagar. God doesn't need your help. If he gives you a promise, he'll fulfill it. You wait on him and don't rush ahead. That's a life lesson. This is part of the inheritance that Abraham left to his descendants. This is part of the land that he was able to conquer and overcome, and now he's able to pass it on, life lessons to his son Isaac. This is his inheritance. You probably are enjoying some inheritance that you don't even know about. Maybe some of your forefathers and ancestors were strong Christians, and they fought some battles for you that you don't have to fight. You don't even know about it. But there are some things you do have to fight, and you need God's help to help you, to show you how to do it, and he'll help you take some ground and conquer some new territory in your life so that when you leave here, you can pass it on to your descendants, and they receive an inheritance. What's an inheritance? An inheritance is someone who leaves you something so you don't have to start way back here as if you didn't have an inheritance. Without an inheritance, you have to start way back here. But when you get an inheritance, you get a head start. You get to start up here. Are you hearing? So, ladies and gentlemen, we're here for such a time as this on earth to make a lasting impact and to take some territory and take some ground and conquer the enemy's kingdom, the kingdom of darkness, so that our ancestors will have an inheritance. And as far as we go in the Spirit, as far as we grow and mature in the Lord, as far as we overcome addictions and sinful behaviors and habits, and we reach our ceiling. And there's an old saying that says, our ceiling becomes their floor. They get to start where we left off. They get to start at a higher place because we overcame with the Lord, because we let God lead us. We let God use our lives. We quit trying to run our lives and stay in the driver's seat. We let him do it. Hallelujah. Billy Graham was probably one of the most influential Christian leaders in the last 100 years. I was fortunate enough to go to one of his crusades. And as a young preacher, I was looking for his magic bullet. What was his secret to success? What was specifically did he do? And so I tried to imitate Billy Graham. I could do a little bit of Billy Graham in his voice every once in a while. I can do a little bit of that. And then I would try that on my congregation at home. Of course, it didn't work. It really was stupid. But I was looking for his magic bullet, and he did the same service every single time. Invitation the same way every single time. And yet thousands of people came to know the Lord. It was a huge success because God led Billy Graham to do what he wanted Billy Graham to do. And then when he died, people said, who's going to be the next Billy Graham? Who's going to take his place? No one. No one's supposed to. Now, at that particular time in our country, in our world, crusades were used by God in a great way to win a lot of people to the Lord. But that's not the norm. It's not the normal way. And it's not to diminish everything that Billy Graham did with crusades and how God used him in a great way, but that's not the norm. God doesn't have to have a big event and high-profile people to win people to the Lord. Do you know what God's method is? It's so different from the way we think, that we think, God, you're not very smart. God's way is this. Two ways. Number one, personal. One person attracts another person to the Christ that's in them. That's God's way. That's his main way, is one-to-one evangelism, one-to-one witnessing, one-to-one sharing. People see something in you, and they want to know more. What is that? What is that? And you can tell them about the Christ that saved you. That's his method. God's way of attracting people to build his church and all of that is one-on-one people. You influence a certain amount of people. You're salt and light. That's number one. The other way, again, looks absolutely foolish. And the next one is in the scripture, in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 21. And it says this in the Message Bible, since the world in all of its fancy wisdom never had a clue when it came to knowing God, God in his wisdom, he took delight in using what the world considered stupid. preaching. Of all things, a man or a woman stands up and preaches. How foolish, says the world. But God says, that's my two primary ways I reach people. One-on-one, influence, attraction, and another way is through the foolishness of preaching. That's God's way. Now, there's other ways as well, but this is the primary way. He didn't say go out and get a bunch of billboards and self-promote. He didn't say, there's nothing wrong with those things, but he never said, that's how I want you to build my church. Get on television and get a big email list. No, no. This is the way I want you to influence my world. One person has an encounter with God, and it affects them so much that it affects everything they do, and they learn to let the Lord be their shepherd and let him lead their life. And then they go out into a world, and the light of God that's in them will attract other people to that light, which is Christ. So simple. And the other way is through the foolishness of preaching. What you're witnessing right now is just the grace of God. Someone has to listen to God and do what God says, even though it sounds foolish to them. God, I'm listening. Yes, I'll let you lead me. Go get a building permit. What? What about evangelizing the world? You want me to go witness it? You want me? Go get a building permit. What has that got to do with making a long and lasting impact with my life? If you won't obey me in the little things, why can I trust you with the greater things? Are you listening? Because God's talking. He's talking to you about some things in your own life. He wants to lead you, but you got to be willing to follow him. And that's the question God's asking me, but he's asking you every day. Will you let me lead you? And it starts, let me share with you how it started. Someone, maybe not the most spiritual person either, one day hears a whisper of the Lord say, you need to start a food closet at the church. Bring canned goods in just to help people when they have need. What? They come to the pastor and they say, Pastor, I'm not sure, but I think the Lord's impressed upon my heart that we need to start just a closet somewhere and ask people in the church to bring in canned goods. Okay, I'll pray about it. Feel like the same thing. Not every good thought is a God thought. You got to check it out with the Lord. They're like, well, God didn't say no. He didn't specifically say yes. He's kind of left it up. Yep, make that decision. I said, well, that's a good idea. Let's. I think it's what God wants to do. Let's just start it. So over 10 years ago, a fellow started that, and in the back of this building over here, we had a little closet, and people started bringing in canned goods and dried goods and stuff like that, and we started handing it out. And then next thing you know, that thing grew, and we had to have a little barn out in the back there where that's where the food pantry went on from there. It started, became a food pantry, and one day a week people would come in. And 10 years later, now we have this glorious food pantry right over here behind the church, and usually about 100 families a week come in and get food. How did that happen? Somebody heard the voice of God, and they said, yes, Lord. A little thing. 10 years later, we had this incredible food ministry. It reaches a lot of people. Somebody, or maybe it happens like this. Somebody gets a desire in their heart. They have a burden for single ladies in the church. They feel like, you know, this, we need to have something for the single ladies in the church. A lot of couples. So there's single ladies that need ministry and fellowship and just have times of coming together and stuff. And so they get this idea, then they come and they share, Pastor, I think God may be wanting us to start this, and You know, it's okay, go ahead, start. And then that person just starts, and it's a little thing. Maybe only one or two or three people show up. You don't know where it's going to lead. You don't know who it's going to touch. You don't know how far it's going to go, but that's how it starts. And that's the same thing is true in your life. Little things really matter to God. You have no idea where it's going to go. When God just whispers to you, go over there and talk to that homeless person. Go over there and help that person with a little bit of money. Give that waiter or waitress an extra tip today and tell them God loves them. You have no idea where that's going to go or how God's going to use it. You're not supposed to know. You're supposed to trust God and let Him lead you. Well, years ago, before this building was built, that road out front was a two-lane road. And all of you who live around here, your houses weren't here. This was all cow pasture. There was no church here. It was a dark road. Continental was across the street, but after that, it was nothing out here. There'd be no reason for you to drive on that road. And one day, a couple came by, and they drove by on that two-lane road, and the Spirit of the Lord spoke to them and said to them, you need to start a church right here. And they pointed to this property. Well, that was impressive. But they went on and they got busy in life like we do and just totally forgot about it. Years went by and this church was built here. And when we first opened this building, we had a big, big conference and a lot of things that would draw people to come here to this church opening. And so I didn't meet them, but this same couple that God spoke to years before about starting a church, they drove on the property, and they said to one of the ushers back there who told me later, they said, this is strange. It's like we've been here before. And then they realized, oh, my goodness. This is the place that God spoke to us years ago to start a church, and we forgot about it. And now there's this church here. And they came in those doors right back there, and they started crying and weeping, seeing what the Lord had done. But they had missed Him. They didn't do what He said to do. Who knows what would have happened if you just started, not even knowing how to do it, but you just started some way, somehow. Who knows? But they cried and they wept, and they told one of the ushers this story, and the usher told me, I wish I'd have met him. But that story is true. Look what God wants to do. Sometimes it's not obvious. Sometimes you're not 100% sure. It's just a still, small voice in your head and in your heart. But if you'll obey God and ask God to confirm your steps to you, He will do that because He wants to lead you. He wants to be your shepherd. He knows your sheep. You don't know the right way to choose. You'll make the wrong choice. You'll look at the physical and you'll make a wrong choice. You'll look at the finances and make a wrong choice. You've got to follow God's lead. God wants to use your life to make a lasting impact on this world so that when you go, people will not attend your funeral and say, what was their life all about? What was the purpose? What was the meaning? Was it just to make all the money you can and pay off the mortgage and raise the kid? Was that all their life meant? Did their life not have any meaning or purpose? And that's the same thing you have to ask about yourself. Your life only has meaning and purpose to what God has assigned to it. And I guarantee you, God's been talking to you. He's been trying to get your attention. And He's asking you the same exact question as He's asked me, will you let me lead you? And you need to give a response. Even if it's, Lord, I'm willing to be made willing. Now, don't think wrong about yourself. Don't think that you got to become all spiritual and get it all together before God's going to use you. Look at the people that God has used in the Bible. Not one qualified person yet. Noah got drunk and naked before his family. I would think that'd disqualify him, wouldn't you? Abraham, he's over the hill, and God says, I'm going to make you a father. You're going to have a biological son. I would say, hey, God, don't you think there's better choices than that? David, Man after God's own heart, but he went south. He committed adultery and murder. I would say after that, well, you're not usable anymore, but God said, no, I'm going to use you. Paul was a terrorist, really, a radical, extremist terrorist who killed Christians. God knocked him off his donkey, got his attention, converted him, and used him to write two-thirds of the New Testament. Timothy was sick all the time, always had some kind of ailment, but God used him. Lazarus was dead. God used him. So let me ask you a question. What's your excuse? You ain't got one. The only response after this message is to say to the Lord, Lord, I'm willing to be made willing. Because whatever time I have left here on this earth, I want you to use it to make a long and lasting impact on the people and the things that you want to accomplish through me. Help me to get out of the driver's seat. Now, I would encourage you in just a moment to do the same thing I did. I'd encourage you before you leave, because you need to give a response when you hear God. Preaching is not just to teach you something. Preaching is to bring about a response in people. It's persuasive. It's different from teaching. Teaching is giving you information, revelation. But preaching is persuasive, like a salesman. You could say, I'm God's salesman. The salesman knows how to close the deal. Have we got a deal? Are you ready to buy today? Are you ready to purchase this today? Are you willing to sign on the dotted line today? Do you realize that you've got to have this now? That's what a salesman does. That's what I'm doing. I'm God's salesman. I'm trying to persuade you. Don't get up and walk out of here like you got it all together. I encourage you to come up here, not because I need a show of looking like you, more people here, you're successful. That does not the point. Just come up here and bow before God and talk to him about what you just heard and say, Lord, I heard you today, and I'm willing to let you lead me. Just show me how to do it. And anybody whose heart is honest, God will help them. I guarantee you. You'll get up from there, God will be pleased. Now then, after that, you listen for the next thing he tells you to do. It may not be what you expect. It might be you need to go apologize to so-and-so. You need to apologize to your wife for sounding ugly this morning. Don't be surprised. Little things matter to God. Would you stand up? I'm going to pray for you. And I've delivered the message. Will you let God lead you? Bow your heads, please. Lord, we're about to go back out in the world where it gets so busy that we're quick to forget what the voice of the Lord has said to us. Help each one of us to slow down, not be in a hurry, but listen for your voice. Now, I'd invite you right now, if you want God to lead you, I'd invite you just come up to the altar and just stand there. You don't have to kneel. You can stand. Just talk to God for a minute. No one's going to mess with you. No one's going to come around you. Just talk to God. Tell him, I want you to lead me. I'm willing to be made willing to do whatever you want to do with the rest of my life. I want to make a lasting impact on this world. God, help me, because I don't know what to do. You said if I would have the fear of the Lord in my heart, that you would lead me in the way that I should choose. You said you would show me the path of life. I'm looking to you. I need you. I trust you. You will show me what to do. want you to stay there as long as you need to. And then when people exit, if you would exit quietly, please, in the sanctuary to respect these here at the altar. And if you're here for the first time, stop by the bookstore. I'd just like to say hello to you and meet you in person or pray for you if you like. And God bless you. May the Lord bless you. May the Lord keep you. May the Lord make His face shine on you. May the Lord be gracious to you and lift up His countenance upon you and give you His sweet peace. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.